Glad, and thank you again for being here this morning. You know, aren't we all thankful for the tie that binds all of us together? That is the tie of love. You know, love really is so important. We were talking about that this morning in our Bible class, but we can rest most assuredly in knowing that we are a people that are loved by our Father in heaven. You know, the Bible says a lot of things about the subject of love and about encouragement. And I don't know of anyone who doesn't need encouragement. Sometimes people get so discouraged in life about a lot of things. Maybe with other people, by what they say, by what they do. Maybe just by the turn of events themselves, we often find ourselves discouraged. So this morning, I want us to talk about the power of encouragement. You know, one of the things, and I really believe this, that empowers us is encouragement. It's amazing sometimes, isn't it, when we're down and out and when we're discouraged and someone offers an encouraging word, you can just almost see their face light up. You know, we are encouraged in so many, many ways. Someone said, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. But encourage me and I will not forget you. All of us can remember people who have encouraged us at times in our life when we face great difficulty. And maybe just a simple word, maybe their presence just being there when we felt that they came out of their way, we were so grateful. And you know what? I don't know of anyone this morning who does not need a daily dose of encouragement. There's so many things in the world to discourage us. But I want to talk about the power of encouragement. You may not know who Jean Nydeck is. She was born in the year 1923 and passed away 3 years ago. She was a homemaker, and in reality, she was desperate to lose weight. Many of us have been in those situations also. She went to the New York City Department of Health, where she was given a diet that was really devised by Dr. Norman Jolly, and 2 months later, she was discouraged about the 50-plus pounds that she still needed to lose. She invited 6 overweight friends to her home to share the diet and talked about how to stay on that diet. 28 years later, 1 million members attend 250,000 Weight Watcher meetings in 24 countries every week. Why was Jean able to help people take control of their lives? To answer that, she tells a story that when she was a teenager, actually, she used to cross a park where she saw mothers gossiping, and while the toddler sat on swings, no one was there to push them. She said, I would just simply give them a push. And you know what happens when you push a child in a swing? All of us do. Pretty soon, they're pumping and doing it on their own. And she said, you know what? I have considered that my role in life, to simply give everybody a push. And you know what? A little push in the right direction can make a big difference. You know, I've always considered my role as a gospel preacher to push you, to encourage you, and I don't mean that ugly, but to give you a push in the right direction, nudge you a little bit, to make sure that you get where God wants you to be. The power of encouragement. The word encouragement actually is a noun. And it means the action of giving someone support or confidence or hope. It means to persuade others to do something or for them to continue to do what they know that they need to be doing in life. If there is a message from God, it is this one message, and it's one that we all need to hear every day. Don't give up. Don't give up, because you know what? Many of us start a lot of things in life, but because we get discouraged, we are ready to give up. We're ready to acquiesce. We're ready to throw in the towel simply because we have not arrived where we would like to be. And Paul the Apostle, who wrote this great book of Hebrews, offered these encouraging words in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. He said, "We must also consider how to encourage one another, to show love, and to do good things in life. We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some people are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming." You know, every day we should try to encourage someone. I see a lot of people every day. My initiative every day is to offer a kind word. It is. Sometimes I do it maybe in a funny story, and most of you know that I like jokes and riddles and things of that nature, and I always try to do that because I know when someone is down, maybe just to make them laugh makes them feel so much better. It really, really does. And, you know, the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And again, I will say it, I don't know of anyone who doesn't need a dose. Encouragement comes from the Greek word parkaleo, which actually means to call alongside. And when you're encouraging someone, you're not speaking to them out there, but you're calling them to your side. You want to be right here with them where you can get eye to eye and face to face and really do what you can to encourage them. It simply means to admonish one another, and that's a word that's used in the Bible a lot. It means to reassure people when they're down and out. I want people that, you know what, when I was in the hospital and I was getting ready for this stint, I was so glad that people came and delighted about it. A number of people were out in the waiting room, and they were there to offer words of encouragement and reassure me that everything was going to be all right. And I was thinking, yeah, that's easy for you to say. I'm laying up here having this done. Now, but you know what? I was appreciative. I was really so grateful for all of those people who offered words of encouragement. That word also carries with it the connotation of really being strengthened in our spirit. It means just simply to comfort one another. The Bible says that God comforts us that we may comfort one another wherewith we've been comforted. God didn't just make us comfortable, but He comforts us that we might comfort other people as well. And by the way, it also means to instruct. When you're encouraging someone, you're instructing them. You're offering them information, vital information that can help them become all that God really wants them to be. So when you think about encouragement, understand the power of it, what it can really do. Maybe just talking with a friend, maybe conversing with them, and lifting them up when they are down. And I'm going to tell you, anyone that says, well, I'm just not good at encouraging others, yes, you are. You just have to find your way to do it. And you know, we all have ways of doing it. Sometimes people can just do it by offering a word. Sometimes when you know someone really needs encouragement, just be there by their side to be with them. Just your presence alone means so much. We encourage one another with cards. I got cards in the mail. I was so thankful. Calls, people that came by. I'm going to tell you something. All of those are just simply things of encouragement. When I think about encouragement, I'm reminded of Paul's words in the book of 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort." I notice that he uses the word all comfort. He doesn't just say comfort, but he says he's the Father of all comfort. Look at verse 6 of chapter 7. He says, "Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus." He doesn't say Titus did anything. He just says he was comforted because Titus was there. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he doesn't say Titus came in and read to us, or Titus came in and brought food, or Titus came in and he sat with us for a while. We don't know what Titus did. But he came and he was there, and he says, "We were all comforted by this great servant of God." Again, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, "Who comforts us," that is God, "in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble." Why did God comfort us? Listen to what he says. He comforts us in all of our tribulation. Here's the reason: that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God. Again, he didn't comfort us to make us comfortable, but he comforted us to make us comforters. It's not by accident that the Holy Spirit is even referred to as a comforter. It's the word paracletus, where we got that word a moment ago, encouragement, paracleo. And that's really what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit comforts us. He does. Someone said in the book of Isaiah 40:29, the great prophet of God, "He gives strength to the weary and increases," listen, "He increases those who are weak." He motivates us. When I think about the word encouragement, that's a word I just like myself. And there are a lot of other words in the Bible that are chosen that probably reflect that idea a little bit more. But, God motivates us. He encourages us. Where would the world be without motivation? Think about you. Where would you be without motivation? Through the years, I have been so motivated by other people, maybe by things they said, maybe things that they have done to leave me. I think as a young boy, when I was growing up, and I was encouraged by Bible class teachers, you know what? I'm so thankful for all of these young couples in this congregation that are working so hard in this Lads to Leaders program. And it's a tremendous program. And I commend you all for doing that. Because I'm going to tell you something. Those young people will remember you in years to come. I can still name the names of my Bible school teachers when I was a young child. But they taught me about God. I will always be indebted unto them for the great lessons that not only I learned at home, but the great lessons I learned down at the church house are lessons that have stayed with me all of my life. And I will be indebted to those who taught me about God when I was a young child going to Bible class. Motivated. Encouragement. Let me share with you some things that you need to know. When you think about encouragement, I'm going to tell you one of the greatest statements that you can ever make to anyone is to say unto them, "You are a valuable person." No one in this world is invaluable. You and I are valuable to one another. We are valuable to God. God doesn't have dispensable beings. You're important. You are. In the third chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 22, "And a voice came from heaven," listen to this, "and said," this is the voice of God, "and he says unto his son," but he says it not only to Jesus, he's saying it to all these other people who are standing by, who are observing, and who are watching. Well, he probably said to his son many, many times. I don't know how many. We don't have all the records of the life of Jesus, but many, many occasions probably God acknowledged his gratitude for his son and how important he really was. But here he says, "You are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased." 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Paul says on one occasion that only Luke is with me, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. Now, Paul didn't say exactly what Mark was going to do, but he said he's useful to me in the ministry. You remember back earlier in the book of Acts when there was a real problem with Paul and Mark, and they were at odds because Mark was going to go on a missionary journey and with the Apostle Paul, and then Mark turned back, and then later he wanted to go, and Paul says no. He says, I'm going to take Silas and Barnabas can take you and y'all can go on your missionary journey. Well, now that issue has been resolved, and when he writes unto Timothy, he's saying, get Mark to come with you, and for he is useful to me in the ministry. I don't know what he's going to do, but Paul was actually saying he's valuable. He is. You know what? You and I are VIPs. We are. You know, when people ask us, they say, well, who do you think you are, a VIP? Absolutely. You are a VIP in the eyes of God. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, Paul writes, but we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. You know what? When I read that, I say, hey, man, that's Crockett Road. I read that and I say, you know, that's what God would say about this great church. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, because your faith is growing exceedingly and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. I tell people all the time, and I've been here 47 years, and I'm going to tell you, there is a sweeter, loving spirit in this church right now that I have ever, ever seen in 47 years. Sometimes we get so down and out. And just when the caterpillar thought that the world was over and that it had come to an end, he blossomed into a beautiful butterfly. And you know, sometimes in life when we go through struggles, I'm going to tell you something. We go through struggles, and struggles make you stronger. Struggles are encouragement in and of themselves when you think about it. When I think about encouragement, we ought to be people that say to another one, not only are you valuable, but you did great. I have been with young people sometimes, maybe when they felt like they fumbled the ball, maybe in some way or another, some project they were doing, you know, and I look at them and I say, you know what, you did a great job. And their face lights up. You know, there's nothing more important that encouragement. How do you think Jesus must have felt when God spake from heaven and said those words, you're my beloved son? In 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3, Paul writes, moreover, brethren, we make known unto you the grace of God bestowed upon all the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, he says, the abundance of their joy and in their deep poverty. Now notice, these people were not giving to God because they had an abundance of wealth, but they were giving to God in their deep poverty. He said it abounded into the riches of their liberality, for I bear them record, he says, that according to their ability, yes, now get this picture, folks, beyond their ability, they were freely willing to give. You know what? Don't ever be judged by your past, because your past is not a life sentence. Sometimes people say, well, I just have to bear that for the rest of my life. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's over. God's forgiven it. It's gone. And you know, the Bible says that God forgives our sin as far as the east is from the west. He throws your sins into the vault of His grace. He buries him, the Bible says, in the depths of the ocean. And don't let negative, toxic people rent space in your head. Listen, raise the rent and kick them out. They don't belong there. Some people say of Christians that they are deplorable. You ever heard that before? We aren't deplorable. God's people are people that love Him. And don't let anyone bring you down. Aren't you thankful to God this morning that God lifts us up? I like that old song too we sing to Wyatt. It's called, Lord, Plant My Feet on Higher Ground. Lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. In Galatians 6:9, Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That is, we don't give up. You're going to reap something great. Let me tell you something. Encourage, don't discourage. There are five things you can do when people try to pull you down. They can either define you, what they say. They can. They can confine you. They can refine you, make you better, make you stronger. They can outshine you if you let it. Or you can choose to move on and leave it behind you. Everybody goes through hurt in their life. Everybody goes through issues with people. I understand. We live in a world of people, folks. Christ lived in a world of people. He prayed for those that God would forgive them. When I think about encouragement, we ought to say to one another, here's what we ought to be doing to motivate them. You can do more. Sometimes we think we've reached all that we can possibly do. We need to do more. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment, he says, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, Paul says to the church at Thessalonica. He says, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more and more. We have never reached a plateau. We haven't reached the apex yet. We haven't. Real friends who really want to motivate you, fight for you, they respect you, they include you, they encourage you, they need you, they deserve you, and they stand by you. And know this, we're all going to have cloudy days every now and then. We aren't. But you have to know that the sun is still shining behind the clouds and that they don't last forever. They don't. It is our job to lift one another up, not to size them up. You know, what we do most of the time is we start sizing people up instead of lifting them up. And that's what we ought to do. I'm going to tell you, we'd have a greater city in Palestine if people would encourage one another and lift them up. We'd have a greater church when people start getting motivated to encourage one another and lift them up. And we ought to say to one another that the future is bright. I always like to say the future is as bright as the promises of Almighty God. In Numbers 13 and verse 30, when the people of God or others were saying there's no way in the world we can take the land that God tells us that we can take, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. I like Paul. Finally, I do not count myself to have apprehended, he says. But this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching unto those things that are before, or the things that are ahead, he said, I press toward the goal for the price of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. You do not have to be discouraged. You don't. Let me tell you something. For those of you who feel discouraged and you think, well, I just can't go home to sleep tonight because I'm so discouraged, God will be up all night handling your problems. You don't have to spend another sleepless night. Just trust that God is working in your life. David said in Psalms 119, 114, that you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in you. There's a story that emerged several years ago about a horse that had been shot by a crossbow and survived after four fellow mares spent 3 hours taking turns licking and cleaning the wound. 20-year-old horse Zeta was in critical condition after one of the arrows bounced off of her rib, and while another lodged an inch from her lung, she grazed in a field in Kentucky. Zena's owner, Joe Young, said the four other horses were the ones who saved Zeta's life. It was really touching that when she was found, the other horses in the field were nuzzling her to comfort and lick her wound. They kept the wound cleaning and kept it clean, which would have prevented it from being infected by bacteria, and it also helped to stem the blood flow. This was definitely a herd instinct kicking in among the horses. They knew Zeta was in need, and they rallied around her to save her. Isn't that what Paul says that we're to do when one is hurting? We're to be there to help them. In the book of 1 Corinthians 12, he said it this way, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members seek to honor. We encourage. Jesus gave these words in Matthew 11. And these are some of the greatest words of encouragement that have ever fallen from the lips of the Anointed One of Heaven. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You know, several years ago, when some of our elders in the church at that time were getting up in years, there were some who said, we feel like they ought to resign because they're too old. They're no longer productive. And, you know, I thought a lot about that, and I thought, you know, the word elder itself actually means older. And these were great men of God, and at that particular point, there were some who were trying to get me to encourage the elders to resign. I said, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. You are the one who has the wrong attitude. You are the one who needs to submit to them that have the rule over you, knowing that they watch for your soul. It reminded me of a story several years ago. During quail season down in the state of Georgia, an Atlanta journalist met an old farmer hunting with an ancient pointer at his side. Twice the dog ran rheumatically ahead and pointed. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen them do it. And when the journalist saw no birds rise, he asked the farmer for an explanation. And he said, "Oh, shucks." He said, "I knew there weren't no birds in that grass." He said, "Old Spot's nose ain't what it used to be." But we had a lot of wonderful times together. He's still doing the best that he can. Now, it'd be mighty mean of me to call old Spot a liar in this stage of the game. You know, sometimes we have to remember that God uses us to encourage, not discourage. And the only person you are destined to become is the person that you decide to be. God's given you a plan. Very simple. It is. And we encourage you this morning with these words, because I'm going to tell you something. This is what God encourages us with. And isn't it interesting that in the closing chapters of the book, of those biographical accounts of the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all share the same story, the same message, the same invitation to hear the Word of God and believe it with all of your heart. And in your belief, allow yourself to change your life to meet the direction of the Almighty. And then to confess Jesus before the world, that you believe that He is the Son of God and Savior of the world. And then by being baptized in water for the forgiveness of sin. Let me tell you something. The message has not changed. It has not. It is still true that you and I are to grow and be faithful unto God in all things. And our obedience to God must never, ever be delayed. In a moment, you and I will have the wonderful privilege, and it is a privilege, it's an honor to be called of God. It's an honor to be able to invite others in song. And that's what we're going to do this morning. By singing this grand old gospel hymn, "I Am Resolved." And I hope it'll not just be words, but it'll be something from the very depths of your heart. I am resolved. I'm resolved to live better. I'm resolved to be an encourager. I am resolved to be encouraged that I may encourage others. And if you're not a Christian, would you follow the plan of God this morning? Maybe if you've been in a state of discouragement, let us lift you up this morning. Let us pray for you that God can help you and make you better. That's what we're about. That's why we exist, is to save the lost, but to keep the saved saved. And we do that through words of encouragement. Let us stand and let us sing.